Oh, we are off and running once again. Day two from Washington, D.C., overlooking the Capitol for the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row event. It is great to be with you as we start off another morning. It is put on by FAIR, and they have done just an outstanding job here the last couple of days. That is the Federation for American Immigration Reform. We have another busy day of guests lined up for you today. Just to give you a little taste of what's going to be happening, we're going to talk to bottom of this hour, Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council. We've got Tom Homan, who you may see on Fox News. He is the former director of ICE. We're still going to have our weekly conversations, by the way, with Quentin Lucas just after 7:30 this morning. And then folks like Chad Wolf, former Secretary of Homeland Security, Congress members like Marjorie Taylor Greene are all going to be joining us here on a busy, busy Thursday morning from Washington, D.C. So looking forward to getting you caught up in day two. And you know, we spent a lot of time, obviously, on the immigration issue yesterday. And I feel like it's so appropriate to be here and be doing this show and these topics right now, given the border crisis that is on full display along our southern border. It's not one of those things that's just hyperbole or a political talking point for Republicans. I mean, anybody who wants to pay attention to what is happening at the southern border knows it is completely out of control. Democrat, Republican, Independent, doesn't really matter. I mean, the facts are the facts, and you've got hundreds of thousands of people coming or attempting to come across this border every single month over the last couple of months. And I imagine when the September numbers come in, it's not going to be much different. Maybe a little bit of a slowdown because even this administration has realized it's needed to crack down at least a hair, or at least have the perception that it's cracking down a bit. But, I mean, we've all seen the videos the last few weeks from Del Rio, Texas, from other parts of that southern border. We've talked to our congressional members locally who have been down at the border, our candidates who have been down to the border lately. I mean, Mark McCloskey was on this show last week talking about his trip to the border and what a fine-tuned operation he saw from the cartels. I mean, this is stuff, and there's so much that I learned yesterday. If you missed any of our conversations with our guests from yesterday, which included people who know the border as well as anybody in this country, go find it wherever you get your podcast. Just search for the show, and you'll find every interview from yesterday's show. I mean, and I learned something in every single one of them, and I hope you did as well. And we'll be doing plenty more of that today right here on KCMO Talk Radio. Now, the other big news developing is what is happening on Capitol Hill regarding the spending, right? We know that Democrats want to spend what they're calling, but the more people we talk to, it sounds like that $3.5 trillion number is actually a low ball, believe it or not. I mean, you never think that you'd talk about $3.5 trillion and say, yeah, that's kind of a generous number when it comes to favoring the Democrats. It's really more like four plus when you actually crunch the numbers. That's what Missouri Congressman Jason Smith told us yesterday. But either way, what we're talking about, three and a half, talking about four, whatever it might be, the reality is it doesn't seem like the key Democrats are going to budge on this. Yesterday, Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he is a Democrat in a 50-50 Senate. He's probably the most powerful guy in the U.S. Senate right now, said that he would not support spending trillions more on social programs. So that can completely derail Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion bill. Now, you also are seeing Kristen Sinema in Arizona come to a similar conclusion. And she is getting torn apart by those on her left. I mean, it is ugly. I just saw some clips, and I'm not going to play them because I'm in a good mood this morning. I don't want to ruin it by playing a Joy Reid clip from MSNBC. I'll save that for another day. But Kyrsten Sinema is just getting lit up by some of the super progressive cable news shows who are basically like, how dare she try to roadblock this? John, you can't make it up.
Hell hath no fury like a scorned liberal, huh?
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. I mean, it's just they are going at Sinema. They are going at Manchin. And so far, they're staying strong. Now, it's one of the good things. One of the things I like about, events like this is you talk to other radio hosts all over the country. And I was talking to a group of guys who are based out of Pittsburgh, but their show is in a couple of markets in, you know, the Ohio Valley, Western Pennsylvania, and yes, West Virginia. And one of the guys had a very personal connection to Joe Manchin. Family ties, knew him, you know, father's friend, whatever, the whole thing. So he's got Joe Manchin pretty well pegged. And obviously Joe Manchin's a Democrat in West Virginia, which is like a Trump plus 35-40 state. So he's really not a progressive Democrat. He can't be if he wants to represent his voters. And Manchin is very well respected as kind of an old school Democrat in that state. And what he said is, listen, Joe hates all this stuff. Joe does not agree with anything that's happening, but they got him by the short hairs a little bit. The powers that be. Because if they really wanted to, they really want to play hardball with Manchin to get his vote, what can they do? And this is what concerns Joe Manchin. What they can do is they can, you know, whether it's clear as day or, you know, just sneakily behind the scenes, start cutting things out for West Virginia. Start directly impacting things that benefit West Virginians. And that's the dirty game of politics that always gets played here. But that leadership could ultimately play on a guy like Joe Manchin, ultimately play on somebody like Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona, where they start impacting these bills in a way that that then will hurt their own people, the people that they represent, regardless of, you know, what those people's political beliefs are. These are the people that they have been sent to Washington, D.C. to represent. And the fear from some of them, at least from Senator Manchin, is that, you know, West Virginia is a poor state. There's no doubt about it. They were the ones who were giving me all the rundown and the numbers last night. It's a poor state, and it's a state that right now, if you were to cut off certain programs or cut off certain fundings, you would have a lot of people with a lot of problems. So we'll see how hot that conversation gets, if that ultimately is something that happens. But that's how they can screw you. You know, and that's one of the political games that will absolutely end up getting played here. So we can all sit here and say, boy, Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, they got to do the right thing. They're considered more moderate Democrats. They can't vote for this ridiculous $3.5 trillion spending plan. They just can't do it. And I don't believe deep down they really want to do it. But you never know what's going to go on behind closed doors. You never know what exactly is going to happen. And when you've got a 50-50 Senate, which you have right now, and then you have Kamala Harris as your potential tiebreaker, oh my goodness. The drama is real, and we are watching it unfold right here in Washington, D.C. Had a very good couple of visits yesterday with Senators Roger Marshall and Senators Josh Hawley as well. We'll be putting those pictures up on our social medias later today right here on KCMO Talk Radio. So good to be starting off another morning with you. The sun is starting to rise over the Capitol, amazingly. I don't see the Walking Dead. I didn't see them last night either. I'm just waiting for them to pop their heads up. So I do have to tell a story, by the way, later this morning. Apparently Dr. Fauci was at the same bar that many of us were at last night, and I missed him. That would have been a hoot. I wish I had Chris Stegall here with me, though. I think he might have had a thing or two to say to the guy. But either way, busy morning ahead. Coming up next, we are going to dive into this controversy at the airport. All right, I'm walking around D.C. yesterday. My phone is blowing up with people just complaining and bringing this airport issue to my attention regarding the concessions, who's in charge, backroom deals. Nobody trusts each other. And that's the core of this issue right now. This city council has no unity and does not trust each other. And now it's starting to impact this airport project potentially and hurt the people of Kansas City. I'll explain it. We'll dive into it coming up next right here on KCMO Talk Radio. My goodness. So I'm walking around Washington, D.C. yesterday and going from point A to point B and, you know, a couple of meetings and trying to grab a bite to eat. And my phone is going ding, ding. Because this Kansas City airport, oh my goodness, just when you thought there couldn't be more drama, the Kansas City airport project continues to provide it. So yesterday, the plans were to kind of move through committee with this Vantage Group out of Canada that is going to run the concessions at the airport or oversee, whatever you want to call it. But they're essentially going to oversee all the concessions and how things get done. With the concessions at the airport, the food and whatnot, the drinks, everything, restaurants. And yesterday, two council members just walked out of the committee meeting. Teresa Lohr and Catherine Shields left the meeting, fed up with what they felt was a lack of transparency and time given to fully review the airport bids. Councilman Kevin O'Neill, who is a Northland councilman, first district at large, called the meeting, and I can't say it on the radio. If I did, Mark would have to dump me. An S show is what he called it. And that is the headline, the Kansas City. Oh, Kansas City Star, so edgy. The headline that they used this morning is S show. They spell out the words. KCI concessions contract approved, heads to council after dramatic meeting. And while those theatrics of Lohr and Shields walking out of the meeting certainly slowed things down, it still ultimately approved the proposed airport concession contract, and it sent it to a full council for approval next week. So this Vantage group, and I'm annoyed at Vantage, everyone's got their own reason for being annoyed at Vantage. You got some people that feel like they're not union-friendly, they're not local. There was a local group that was, involving Jasper Mirable and, Joe's Kansas City. And Jasper's going to join us here at about 7:15 this morning to give his perspective on what has gone wrong with this entire process. So we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Mayor Lucas about this at 7:30 as well. So we'll get to the bottom of it. I don't really have a horse in the race, so to speak. I just want to be able to know that if I go to this new airport, I can get a cup of coffee if I need it, and I can get a decent sandwich or a decent bite to eat, John. Like, I don't have a horse in this race.
Yeah, at the moment, you better hope they give you a bag of peanuts on the flight, right?
That's right. That's
they did
right.
Take away our Chick-fil-A, though.
Well, yes. No. Well, that's why I'm pissed at Vantage, right? I mean, like, my thing with Vantage is they totally bowed down to the woke crowd by taking out Chick-fil-A from their proposal. So that's why I'm annoyed at Vantage. But in the end, I mean, as we always said last week when this was a story, like, I wasn't going to lose sleep over it. I just thought it was a ridiculous cancel culture move that they succumbed to without any pushback. But in the end, I want to know that I can go to this airport, get a decent bite to eat at a decent price, although that's impossible in airports these days, and then kind of move on. But I'm not sitting here. I haven't felt the reason to get overly worked up about this. It just seems like you got a city council that really has no trust, faith, or frankly likes each other right now.
Well, things can never be simple. We have a couple of issues. I point out that the issue with the unions is apparently this group, Vantage, does not have a contract with the union representing the employees that are already up there right now, whatever union they're in. So that's one.
Okay.
So the current employees wouldn't necessarily be covered at the moment. And in number two, this Vantage, it's not like they're a concession company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they do food.
Yeah.
They just do airport development.
Okay.
So they're kind of putting it, I guess what I'm saying is it might seem like it would be cleaner or simpler to hire someone who deals strictly with concessions, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And that, yes, okay, and that's been one of the complaints that I've seen on, what Vantage brings to the table that the other groups do not, which is what John is pointing out. Like, from what I've seen here, one of the options, according to Teresa Lohr, is that they would lease, say, Jasper's brand. Jasper would come in, set up a kitchen, teach him how to cook his brand, and then Jasper would get a check every month. So, that'd be great for Jasper. That's it, end of story. But this new group apparently doesn't operate like that, and there's a lot more layers in between based on what John was saying as well, which is they're really not a food concessions company necessarily, and there could be a few more layers involved. Now, the union stuff, I mean, unions ruin everything, all right? I mean, I'd say that as someone who's been in a union. They ruin everything. They can screw things up like this. They can postpone and delay projects. They're overtly political. And I don't mean political in terms of like one side of the aisle or the other, although they obviously lean Democrat. I mean political in the sense that every time something like this comes up, just trying to like get concessions in an airport, they start lobbying behind the scenes. And then the politicians who get donations, big donations from these unions, then have to kowtow to their wants and needs for their own reelection purposes, and it's just a dirty game. I don't like it one bit. But this all gets back to one thing for me, the city council. They do not have any faith or trust in each other, and it's been going on for a long time. The police issue, obviously, was probably the worst thing that could have happened. If you were looking to build faith and camaraderie and trust amongst the city council, that went all out the window back in May. When the Northland Council members felt like their back was turned on them on that same day ordinance where they had no idea what was about to happen, not a clue what was about to happen regarding taking $42 million out of the police budget, that was it for a lot of them up north. Now, in this case, you've got strange bedfellows in Catherine Shields and Teresa Lohr, so I can't quite figure out what that's all about. But the point is, the fact that we can't figure it out tells you all you need to know. Each one of these council members are doing what they think is in their own best interest, potentially, or, if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, the best interest of their constituents, and they have no reason or no interest in compromise or coming to a conclusion together. Apparently, Mayor Lucas had to hop on a Zoom call because he's in New York City this week to try to square this thing away, to get this thing done yesterday. Imagine being Mayor Lucas. Guy's like, sitting there at a, I guess he's at a mayor's conference in New York City this week. And he's sitting there with, Mike Bloomberg, who I guess runs this organization. And he's like, sorry, Mr. B, I got to go, get the children in line there in Kansas City for a couple of minutes. If you could spare me a few minutes, as Mike Bloomberg's trying to impart wisdom on Quentin Lucas, which I'm not sure what quite that wisdom would be outside of you should ban super-sized drinks from McDonald's. I'm not sure what else he would tell him. But got any thoughts there, John?
Well, if you're a dad, it goes like, what did I tell you before we left? When I get home, we are going to talk about this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. But, I think that there's a problem of leadership as well. Not you can agree with Quentin Lucas politically on everything, but clearly he does not have, to use John's analogy, he does not have the children in line right now. He doesn't. And that is part of the job as mayor. I mean, the mayor's vote in Kansas City is worth the same as the council members' votes. Like, we are not a strong mayoral city in terms of how much the mayor can do on his own. So it's really a leadership thing, and it doesn't seem like that is connecting right now with the city council, and you're seeing this drama play out on this airport concessions deal. Coming up next, we are going to have our first guest of the morning, Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council, coming up next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, some of you are asking on the text line where to get the bobblehead, that the Mundo in the Morning bobblehead that's going to be at the airport come 2023. Right when you get off your plane, we'll have it for you. John will be passing them out, actually, is what's going to happen, since we didn't win the bid. Our bid didn't win. We're talking Advantage, but after the Chick-fil-A debacle last week, not sure that's going to happen or if we're going to have a shot at that happening. But I think we can get John on that.
Come on out to the ballpark. It's bobblehead night with the first 10,000 fans, 14 and over, receiving a Mundo bobblehead.
You're a natural, John, I'll tell you. Put you over the loudspeaker. it's funny, too, when I was coming out here to Washington, D.C., flew out Tuesday afternoon. Mayor Lucas, I should have mentioned this to him, but, you hear Mayor Lucas's voice over the loudspeaker saying, be safe, COVID, blah, 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 masks, all that stuff. Now, last year, that was Rex Archer who was saying that. That's who that was. That was Rex Archer who did that over the head, over the loudspeaker thing at the airport. And now it's Mayor Lucas. And I'm thinking to myself, when you're Mayor Lucas and you're replacing Rex Archer, I mean, that's like, that's okay. That's like replacing, give me the worst quarterback of all time. Like Jamarcus Russell, okay? That's like replacing Jamarcus Russell or Ryan Leaf at quarterback or something like that. There's only one way to go but up, all right? So it's not bad to replace Rex Archer on the loudspeakers at the airport. If you're Mayor Lucas, I'll tell you that right now.
Besides that, his holiday message got kind of tedious, right?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving one.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, jeez. All right. So we're in Washington, D.C., the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row event. We're going to have on Chad Wolf here just after 8 o'clock. And Chad is the former Secretary of Homeland Security under Donald Trump. But I want to play this clip for you because the other big thing going on is what's going to happen with this $3.5 trillion spending package, right? And how that's going to play out with mostly, obviously, just Democratic votes in Washington, D.C. Billy Long, Southwest Missouri congressman. All right. He's on the floor yesterday. He's got this viral moment. Remember, he's a former auctioneer. It's a drop that we play. Play the drop here real quick for me, Mark, if you would. The Billy Long drop. Middle left area. Play it there.
$12.5, $15, $17, $20, $2.5, $5, $7.5. I yield back.
And that's one of our favorite drops. And Billy Long broke out the auctioneer event again. He broke it out yesterday on the Hill. Let's roll it.
Madam Speaker, the Ways and Means Committee went in last Saturday to mark up a $3.5 trillion spending bill. And when they got done, they had a $4.3 trillion spending bill. And I don't know exactly how that happened, but I might have a suggestion on how it could have possibly happened. I'm at a trillion, now two trillion, and now three, you're able to bomb $3 trillion down here, and four, with you four, $3 trillion, $3.5, up $3 trillion, here and a half, you're able to bomb $3.5, now four, up $3.5, now $4.5, last call, $3.5, oh, $4 trillion, four point one, now two, with you 4.2, now three, up $4.2 trillion, and I have sold it, $4.3 trillion. You know, Madam Speaker, Missouri and Harry Truman said when you get elected to Congress, you spend your first 6 months up here thinking, wow, how did I ever get here? And then you spend the whole rest of your career thinking, how'd some of these other people get here? And if you watch the boondoggle on the floor this week, you know exactly what I mean. I yield back.
Oh, Billy Long, we love him. That is an incredible soundbite for Billy Long, who, by the way, is going to join us tomorrow morning at 6:30 right here on KCMO. Next, we're live in D.C. Chad Wolf, former Secretary of Homeland Security, is coming up on KCMO. Thank you to Marjorie Taylor Greene, Georgia Congresswoman, for joining us on KCMO in Kansas City. I mean, it's always, and I know I said it, and I'm sounding like a broken record because I said this before she came on, but it's always so much more interesting to sit down with somebody at a table like this, look them in the eye, we're in Washington, D.C., and just go back and forth and read the body language, the facial expressions, and all those different things that you don't get on the phone. And that always makes these conversations a lot more interesting. All right, I got the Dr. Fauci story I'm looking to share with you here. I got to do that coming up in a couple minutes. Brad's on KCMO, wanted to chime in on that conversation with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Hello, Brad. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, Pete. Safe travels on your way home.
Thank you, pal.
And I'll take all your money out of Folger's coffee because I don't need a copy of the morning. You give me my jolt in the morning.
Okay. Thanks, Brad. Thank you. You can give him a rim shot, Mark.
I don't need the rim shot. I'm just blown away and a little bit scared of people who don't have half a brain that get their information off the internet. If you look that lady up, they describe her on Wikipedia as a far-right conspiracy theorist. That people who don't have any thought in their own mind and want to regurgitate stuff will believe that. And that's an extremely sensible lady. Don't forget,
she apologized back in February for some of the things that she had posted in the past. And you know, I don't know where her heart is at right now, right? I mean, but she apologized for things, you know, for QAnon support and things like that. I mean, she did apologize for that. She regrets it. Some of the conspiracy theories that she believed. So I anyone that's willing to admit and stand up and say, yeah, that was wrong, I screwed up, I apologize. I mean, that in and of itself is kind of unique in Washington, D.C. today.
Oh, that's very unique in everyday life today.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
If I had to apologize for every mistake I've made, I would need your radio show, and it would have to go on for weeks and weeks and weeks. We all make mistakes. Yes.
But here's what I would say. Go ahead, Brad. I got to wrap it up.
No, you go ahead.
All right.
You're the professional.
All right, Brad. Have a good day. Thank you, buddy. That's too many compliments for one call, Brad. I can't take any more. All right? That's too many. You know, there are mistakes that you and I make, and then there are mistakes that obviously people in power make that are more important because of the power that they wield and the followers that they have. But, you know, she did come out and apologize for some of that that stuff that she used to believe. And that's why I said, you know, I saw her on the guest list, and I don't book everybody. I mean, there are plenty of people I did not book this week who I could have booked because of various reasons, right? But I wanted to book her just to kind of get to sit down and talk to her. So last night at the bar, Dr. Fauci apparently was there, and I missed him. I missed him. I started hearing through the grapevine from people that, hey, you know, Fauci was just here. Fauci was just, and I'm like, oh, I missed him. I wanted to get Chris DeGaulle. I wanted to teleport Chris DeGaulle here to do the Fauci impression right in his face. I saw that. I thought that would have been great. And it's amazing to me because, you know, it's an old Irish pub. It's the Dubliner right here off the Capitol, where I guess there's some history here. Tip O'Neill used to cut his deals here back in the day. Old Irish pub. But no one's wearing a mask inside the tables. And Fauci apparently is in this, you know, kind of stuffy Irish pub. And I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, geez, this is a guy who is insisting that we all got to sit there with our N95s on. And he's nowhere to be found. I mean, he's just kind of hanging out there, I guess, maskless, eating food at a restaurant. I mean, come on. Don't you know we're in the middle of a pandemic there, Doc? What is that all about? Jeez. Talk about not looking out for other people's health. That's a bad look for Dr. Fauci. But boy, if I had turned the corner, let's say I'm coming back from the can, and I turn the corner and Fauci's standing there. I would have just taken my mask and... I don't know. Maybe I would have coughed in his face accidentally. I'm not sure what I would have done. Maybe I would have, like, put my mask, you know, mooned him and put my mask over myself. I don't know. There are a lot of options. I've been thinking about it all night. I couldn't sleep last night thinking about what my interaction with Dr. Fauci might have been and how that could have gone down and what could have been in hindsight. 5767710. We've got time for you just after 9 o'clock. No guests till 9:35. Live from Radio Row in D.C. on KCMO. All right. Continuing for another hour and 40 minutes or so from Washington, D.C., it's the 14th annual Hold Their Feet to the Fire Radio Row event, and we are thrilled to be a part of it here. It's put on by FAIR, that's the Federation of American Immigration Reform. Good to be a part of what they do every year. Missed it last year due to COVID, so we're back this year. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be joining us in, 15 minutes, less than 15 minutes. Of course, the Georgia congresswoman, some would say controversial. I'm just intrigued by this conversation. Like, I have no idea where it's going to go, but I am very intrigued. She's going to be sitting here right with us at the table, which always makes it a more personal experience. That's the other thing I like about doing these types of events. Having people in person is always different than on the phone. It's just, you know, you have a connection that you can't get through the phone. So I'm intrigued by that, very intrigued by that. And any questions that you might have, by the way, you can pop on the text line, which is 816-576-7710. I'm still getting questions about the bobbleheads at the airport. We're not having bobbleheads at the airport, all right? It was tongue-in-cheek, just based on all this drama that's happening with the Vantage Airport Group and the who's going to win that bid and what restaurants are going to be up there. It's like, let's relax here. But no Mundo in the Morning bobbleheads. That will cause a lot of ruckus at City Hall, probably more protests. So we don't want to do that. Don't worry. No bobbleheads. But I don't know if you saw this yesterday, since we're weaving in some of the national topics of the morning in between our guests. And we'll have time for your calls, by the way, in the 9 o'clock hour, which is a little bit slower for us. So I know we haven't done any calls this morning. It's been that kind of a morning. But you'll have a chance just after 9 o'clock to get in at 5767710. Jen Psaki yesterday was doing her daily press briefing from the White House. And she was asked about the president's cratering poll numbers. And specifically to COVID-19. Like, this is kind of the problem. When you run for president and you run on this notion that a single man can prevent an airborne virus from spreading, that's a fool's errand, right? That's just not accurate. Oh, I'm going to stop. I mean, he ran on that. Stopping the virus. No, you're not going to. A vaccine can certainly help and be a part of that solution. A man being in a building is not going to solve that. So here was what the White House press secretary had to say yesterday when she was asked by the media, hey, what do you make of these cratering poll numbers? What's your answer here?
The president's poll numbers on COVID have dropped. As well as concerned about that, how does it plan to address that issue, specifically because having people trust his opinion on this is a big question of people following public health guidelines?
Well, we think it's more a reflection of people being sick and tired of COVID. Tired, some of that is a reflection of people who are vaccinated being frustrated that there is still a percentage of the population who are not vaccinated, and that's impacting their daily lives. There was an assumption several months ago before the rise of Delta that we would be over and through it and back to normal at this point in time, and we're not. And that's frustrating, and that's impacting people. Ultimately, as the president has said many times, the buck stops with him. The way to solve it is to continue to get more people vaccinated, get people's lives returning back to normal, and that's what we're working on every day.
Well, we are back to normal. I mean, you may have some cities that demand you wear a mask, all right, but watch sports, college football, NFL, Major League Baseball, things are back to normal, all right? I know that they may not want them to be back to normal. I mean, heck, they would still be going lockdown possibly if they could, but things are back to normal. The reason the poll numbers are cratering is because, and notice too how Jen Psaki went out there and blamed, like, well, you know, people are mad because certain people haven't gotten vaccinated, and that's why. Wait, that's why Joe Biden's poll numbers are going down on COVID? I don't think so. I'm pretty sure those things have nothing to do with each other, John.
There seems to be a popular notion among the ranters. I've seen these from school teacher videos. If everybody would just get the shot, this would be over. Now we've got these variants. Well, yeah. I believe, even though we've stopped referring to it as such, these variants are discovered in other countries.
Yeah.
Delta
yeah.
in Brazil, for instance, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right. You're
so
right.
So we need to get on Brazil's butt here. Hey, you guys down there, get a
yeah.
shot.
Yeah, that's right? Exactly right.
Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Get on Brazil, all yeah, right? Get on right. them. Start ragging on them because it's not our fault. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, the notion that no shots leads to more variants is
yeah.
kind of that, a
that's
false,
nonsense.
Yeah.
But you know what? They're the same people that thought to themselves and probably still think to themselves, geez, if everyone just sat at home for 2 weeks in March of 2020, COVID would have completely disappeared by now. Yeah. I mean, we would have never needed a vaccine because, mm-hmm. well, mm-hmm. you know, we would have killed it back then if we all just did our duty and stayed home for 2 weeks in March of 2020. I mean, that's the same crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Same crowd, not dealing in science. Not dealing in facts, not dealing in real life, but they just, it sounds good and they want it to be true. Just like it sounded good when Joe Biden would say on the campaign trail, I'm going to stop this virus. I'm going to stop COVID. Don't you worry. Once I'm in charge, it's all going to go away. Now, maybe he just said that to win. Maybe he did believe it. But guess what? When you say something like that and you think that one guy is going to magically stop this virus, and then he doesn't because it was never realistic. I'm not even knocking Joe for not stopping it. There's nothing he could have done. Seriously, there's nothing the guy could have done. But I do blame him, and it's very fair to criticize him for saying something so stupid. And then for the American people to buy it, to literally and genuinely buy it. I mean, it's interesting, too, because there's a mask mandate here, obviously, in Washington, D.C., and we're on the rooftop of the Fox News building, so that way we're, like, under a tent, so we're technically outdoors, one of those things, you know? So we don't have to have the mask on when we're up here broadcasting. It would be a little difficult to hear me through the mask. But even I notice a fatigue in Washington, D.C., which votes typically 88 to 90% Democrat in elections, a fatigue on the masks here. See, a lot of people that just kind of wear it around their chin, don't wear it at all, and are just kind of over it. And by the way, I don't think I have time for it right now. I'll do it after Marjorie Taylor Greene. But Dr. Fauci was apparently at the bar that many of us were at last night. And I missed him, but apparently he was there.
Tony the Needle. That's his name, we'll call him Tony the Needle.
I'm good with that, Tony the Needle. He may have realized, you know, some of the folks who were at this bar may have hightailed out of there quickly. But I want you to think about this. We'll do this to wrap up the hour. It would be pretty funny. Just give me your thoughts on what, if you had a chance right now, and you can sit on this for about 15 minutes, if you had a chance right now to bump into Dr. Fauci in a bar, What are you telling them? What are you telling them? What are you saying? That you can, by the way, say on the radio, all right? That's the other key part of this, that you can say without Mark using the dumb button. We'll do that to wrap up the hour. I'll tell you that story here coming up after we talk to Marjorie Taylor Greene on KCMO Talk Radio. And by the way, she is coming up next right here on Radio Row from Washington, D.C. I'm Pete Mundo. News is 3 minutes away. Marjorie Taylor Greene in 5 on KCMO.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.